Fleeting days. Fleeting days. Do you have something more than here? I hope I do. Look over at 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3. Verses 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I have stolen another outline. I could say that every Sunday. Most all my outlines are somebody else. They change them around, so if somebody listening says he didn't steal it completely, I don't guess it matters. Those I steal from much better than I am, so. Behold, what manner of love. You know, as you study the Scriptures, as you study through the Bible, you need to know what every word means. We use words a lot different now. We take for granted the meanings of words because a lot of times the word we use really don't give the impact that the word is here. So sometimes it's good just to, even though you think you may know what that word means, most of us think we know what behold means, it would be good to take and I recommend the Amplified Bible. It's a good one. And then just take you, most of all of us got our phone now, we just flip in things, just word in and look up words, keep it there with you. But behold, what does behold mean? Well, behold means to look intensely. Look intensely. Be aware. Contemplate and inspect. Behold's an announcement. That's what this is. The writer is announcing something that he wants you to look at intensely. He wants you to be aware of it. Contemplate it. Let me show you a few other references. We'll be flipping a lot today. Let me show you a few other references. Look over at Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. Verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold. Same word. Behold. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The Son of God will become the Son of Man. Behold. Think about that, Isaiah saying. Look over at Luke chapter 2. verse number 10. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings," an announcement. "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then look over at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, "Behold." There you've got to get the picture here. Here's John the Baptist preaching repentance. Turning from your sins. Turning to God. And he looks up and he says, "Behold. Behold the Lamb." What's he saying? "Behold the Lamb of God." He's saying, behold. You know, John the Baptist is the last prophet. You know, he's in the New Testament. He's the last Old Testament prophet. So he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, the rock, that rock. The Lamb that was slain, the slaughtered Lamb back there, the blood on the doorpost. Behold, that's who's coming, that Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And then Revelation chapter 1. This is the last behold. You know, a lot of churches concentrate on this, the last days thing, and that's all they do. When the Lord's coming back, and it's all how they spend their time. But it's a fact. He is. He will. And this is it right here. The last behold. Final announcement. The last elect's called in. Verse 7 of Revelation chapter 1. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Even so, amen. But this is the same announcement. Those four examples, the same announcement is here in 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1, "Behold." John said, look, contemplate, be aware of what I'm telling you here. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God." That's some announcement, isn't it? Sons of God. When the Lord Jesus Christ became the Son of Man, it was an amazing thing. No doubt, it was an amazing thing. I think the most amazing thing. But I think there's another thing just as amazing. Hold on to your seat now. But when the sons of Adam, you and I, when you and I became sons of God?
Yeah.
Is that any less amazing? I don't think it is. Sons of God. That's what John's saying. Go back to Isaiah. Isaiah says, "Behold, he said, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you're going to call his name what? Emmanuel." That's God with us. That's amazing. John's saying the same thing here. "Behold, you're going to be sons of God." That's amazing. No less amazing for you and I to be sons of God than it was for the Son of God to be a son of Adam. Or a man, I'm sorry. No less miracle. You know, we look around and we do, we're like John Newton wrote that time. We look around and we look at each other as we tend to do, and we think, well, this one will be in heaven, and that one for sure will be in heaven, and I don't think that guy's going to heaven. And sometimes I feel, I sure hope he don't go there. But I tell you, the amazing thing is that I will be there. And maybe that's where we ought to concentrate, that I'll be there. And then think about this. Not only to be there, but to be there as a son of God. You know, I'm sort of like that prodigal. You know, when he used up his whole life and went back to the Father. And his true desire was just to be as a servant. He was sincere. He had no hope of ever being accepted as a son. But that's me. If I just to be a servant of God is fine, but to be a son? Behold, what love. We can't fathom this kind of love. That the Father, God Almighty, would bestow upon us the privilege, the right, to become sons of God. We hear, often we hear, Jesus or God loves you. We hear that quite a lot. But most folks, including myself, have no idea the enormity of what they're saying. God would love us. But John knew. John knew. Remember now, John writing this, John was with Christ. So when he talks about it, and he didn't know it fully, but he knew it much better than what we did know it. So keep that in mind. John knew. Well, what kind of love is John talking about? Well, number one, it's a divine love. It's not human love. Flip a page over to 1 John chapter 4 there. John, 1 John 4:9. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not, look at that now, that's important, not that we love God. You know, folks come to God, they think, on their terms, and they come thinking that they've got to come perfect before God. No, if God loves us, He loves us before we ever thought of loving Him. Right. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, that means the sacrifice, the mercy seat for our sins. Christ takes care of all our sins, thus making it possible for God to love us. That's the only way it's possible for God to love us, is through Christ. So it's a divine love. Number two, it's an everlasting love. Text says, what manner of love? What manner of love? What's manner mean? That's the way it's done. That's the mode or the method. What manner of love the Father has bestowed? What does bestowed mean? That means to confer. To grant, to give. That's giving you something you didn't deserve. Conferred it to you, granted it to you. Just, easy word, just gave it to you. Bestowed, just gave it to you. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. And we know what us is, don't we? We're worms, maggots, sinners, to become sons of God. Jeremiah 31:3, I say it's an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. An unchanging God with an unchanging love. Because it's eternal. Malachi 3:6. Therefore, because I've loved you with an eternal love, you sons of Jacob, you worm supplanters, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Why? Because He loved us with an unchanging love. Romans 11:29 says it's without repentance. God is never sorry He loved you if He loves you from all eternity. We don't deserve it. We don't merit it. We'll never merit it. But He's never sorry. He never repents of the fact that He loves you. You have kids, sometimes you repent of the fact that you love them. Or you repent of the fact that you had them. I'm just kidding, Brittany. But God don't. It's without repentance. Loved in eternity, past. Loved through all eternity, future. Scripture says this, it says, having loved His own, He loved them to the end. What's the end? There is none. There is no end. And then, this love is freely given. Didn't cost us a thing. Not a thing. It's not gained. It's not earned. That's what I've been saying. It was bestowed on us. Given to us. We don't have to wonder like so many folks in religion. So many people killing themselves wondering, have I done enough? We never have to wonder if we've done enough. Never have to wonder if we've worked enough. We never have to try to merit enough favor to gain God's love. It was given to us, bestowed upon us. And then let's look back at the text. 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Here's another thing we hear a lot of times. We hear we're all children of God. But we're not. We're not. We're children by creation. But we're not children by foreordination, are we? We're not children by decree. We're not children of God by decree. No, not everybody is a son of God. Not everybody will ever be a son of God. Judas wasn't a son of God. We know what is the scripture? That's what you got to go to. We let scripture prove our arguments. We don't argue for argument's sake. What's the scripture say? Well, we know Judas wasn't a son of God. It says he was a son of perdition. We know Pharaoh wasn't a son of God. Scripture teaches us the only reason God raised Pharaoh up. Why? So his purpose would be fulfilled in him. He wasn't a son of God. That second thief on the cross, I guess to his left, he wasn't a son of God. The one on the right was, not the one on the left. Look over at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Here's what, but let's let the Lord talk. You don't have to believe me. If you believe the Scripture, we'll let the Lord talk. John chapter 8. Let's look at verse 39. We're just going to break in here. They answered, said to him, talking to our Lord, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. What was Abraham's word? Following Christ, following God, a man of faith. But now you seek to kill me. A man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This didn't Abraham. In other words, Abraham didn't try to kill God. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we be not born of fornication. What these folks are doing here is calling our Lord a bastard. They never could let, they never saw him as God. They never could, they... What they're referring to is that virgin birth. They're going back and they had in their minds that because Joseph and Mary weren't married, this is what they're saying here. Keep that in. This is how wicked these people were. We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He's predicting what these folks are going to do here shortly. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in Him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Okay. But John, back in our text, he's not writing to every man. He's writing to believers. He says, us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. So how are we sons of God? Well, we've established that it's not the general population that's the son of God. How are we sons of God? Well, number one, you're son of God by birth. We're born of God. John chapter 1, verse 12. Let me turn there. I know it takes time. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him. Let me read verse 10. He was in the world. Here's another group that God wasn't their father. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood. In other words, my election in Christ, my faith in Christ, my love for Christ doesn't come because my folks love Christ. The girls don't come from me. That's what he's saying. It's not of blood. Grace don't run in the bloodline. It's a personal thing between you and God. Nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, and it can't be anything I want. God has to, the Spirit, Steve, has to draw me. But of God. But you're born. If you're a son of God, you're born a son of God. It's what he told Nicodemus. You must be born again. Nicodemus didn't understand that. We say you got to be born from above. You got to be born from God. By the Spirit, the Word, new heart, new creation, second birth. Then secondly, we're sons of God by adoption. Look over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'll be there in a minute if you get there. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. We're sons of God by adoption. Now let me ask you this, what's unique about adoption? What's unique about adoption? Well, let me give you some things. An adopted child is special in that they're chosen, aren't they? They're given a name. A new name. Adopted child's given a new name, aren't they? Now, we were sons of Adam, now we're sons of God. We've been given a new name. An adopted child is just as much yours as a child born to you. Just as much. No different. An adopted child, and we've got to put ourselves in what I'm saying here. We're adopted by God. An adopted child is more often than not, the greatest percentage of times, an adopted child is taken out of a bad environment and placed into a good one. Weren't we? An adopted child is of equal value and worth in inheritance as a child born to a father. Whatever a born child has, the adopted child gets an equal portion. It used to be a law. I don't know that if it still is or not, but it used to be a law. Well, it is in a loving father's mind. An adopted child over time becomes indistinguishable from a child born. Your sins will I remember no more. God views us just as he views Christ. No different. Our sins are gone. They never existed. They're as far as the east is from the west. Ephesians 2, there. If you're there, just look over. Here's the adopted thing here. Here's our change of status, our change of families. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." We're in time past, that old family, that old name, "where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Among who? Was that you? Listen to this. Can you find yourself here before? "Among whom also we all had our conversation." That old family. "In times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature. That's an important word. I never noticed that till I was reading this last night. By nature. Not by election. Not by God. God knew. That gets back to Him loving us before the foundation. But by nature, we were children of wrath. Not by foreordination. Even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherein He loved, He adopted us. He took us out of this old rotten family that we were in, put us into a new family. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Okay. Then we're sons by His Spirit. This gets into what Steve was saying this morning. Look over at Romans chapter 8. Sons by the Spirit. Romans 8:14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." You say, well, what if you're not led by the Spirit? Look at verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of God's. Spirit draws us. We're sons of God by His Spirit. And then we're sons by faith. 1 John chapter 5 there, just a couple of pages from our text. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. That's how we believe, by faith. And that faith is a gift of God. That's not our faith. He's given us the ability to believe. That's what the Scripture, "He that hath ears, let him hear." If you've got ears, act on it. God's given you ears to hear. If God's given you any indication that you may be a son of God, act on it. Amen. Act on it. Yes. All right, let's look at the text there. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Scripture tells us He came into His own, and His own received Him not. He warned His disciples over in John chapter 16. He said, they're going to do all these things to you. They're going to hate you. They're going to try to kill you. They are going to kill some of you. But they're going to do it because they didn't know Me. They don't know you. He came into His own. His own received Him not. Oh, they knew Christ is the son of Mary and Joseph. That's what I was saying a while ago. They knew that well. They kept up with that. They knew Christ as the carpenter's son. They knew Him as just a common man, but not as God's son. They never saw Him as God, so they never saw Him as God. Even His own brothers and sisters never recognized Him. They knew Him as the Nazarene, but not as the King. And that's how you and I are if we're believers. I'm Brit. I hear this a lot. I'm Brit. I'll be doing a job. This is how it goes. Bridworthin. Who's your daddy? Oh, I'm Terry's my. Oh, you Terry's boy? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Who was your granddaddy, Hubert? Yeah, yeah, I knew him. That's how it goes. Or I'll hear this. You're one of those Worthing boys, aren't you? Or, you know, they know me as a fireman. Or they know me as a roofer. But they don't know me as a child of God. Now, they'll know you as a Christian. But there's a difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't know me as a child of God. Only other children of God know each other as children of God. There's something different. You see it. You just know it. That's what he's saying here. Therefore, the world knoweth. John's saying, look, folks, the world's not going to know us. I was there when it didn't know him. And they're not going to know us either. Not going to know us. Only children of God know children of God. In verse 2 of the text, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now. Right now. Right now. Not when we die. Not when we get to glory. Right now. Scripture says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. All right, now listen to this real well. I'm as pure, holy, sanctified right now, as the first begotten Son of God.
Yeah.
I am. See, God sees me in Christ. I'm as pure as He's pure. Now, if I'm not, then now I'm not a son of God. Right now I'm not. I can't be, because God can't look at sin. So now, if I'm now a son of God, I'm as pure in God's eyes right now as His Son is. Now, one of these days we'll understand it and know it and realize it fully. But right now, we're sons of God. Therefore, Scripture says that, therefore, being justified by faith right now, I have peace with God. If God don't view me as perfect, I have no peace with God right now. I won't till I get to glory. And a lot of folks think they're not going to realize this thing when they get to glory. We can realize it right now.
Yeah.
We can have peace right now. We can be happy right now. If you're not happy right now being a son of God or a daughter of God, then you're back to that wondering if you've merited enough to gain His favor to be a son or daughter of God. See what I'm saying? Rest in Christ. Rest there. And here's the realization thing I'm talking about. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. And it is, so heaven's somewhat a mystery. What we're going to be is somewhat a mystery. We don't know for sure. We don't. You know, Paul went and came back and he wasn't allowed to talk about it. And that's another thing I noticed. You know, that may get to where Mr. Johnson thought this was going to be just a continual service, conference. Have you ever heard what Paul said? He said, I heard things that were unspeakable. He never mentioned seeing anything. He just heard things. So maybe it is all just preaching. I don't know. He said, I heard words. But whatever it was, he couldn't talk about it. Philippians gives us some indication. We've got some hints in the Scripture. Philippians 3:21 says, our vile body will be fashioned after His glorious body. So we're going to be like Him. And then if you go to Luke 24, that latter part of that chapter, you'll get some more hint of what we're going to be like. He had a body. He said, touch me. You can't touch a spirit. Feel me. So we're going to have, you know, it'll just be perfect. But we do know this, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We're going to be conformed to His image. His image. Perfect in soul, body, and mind. Here's the key for us in that part of the text, though. Seeing Him as He is. See Him as He is. You know, we struggle to know Christ. Don't we want to know more of Christ? We want to know more of His Word. We want to know more of His will. He knows us. Right now, He knows us. We want to know more of Him. Strive to know more of the gospel, His power. It's what Paul says, "Oh, that I may know Him." And one day we will. As He is. That's how we're going to know Him, as He is. But the key is not was. So this time of year, here we are this time of year, and so many are living in the past as far as their view of Christ. They view Him as the baby Jesus, a man of sorrows, sad guy all the time, view Him as crucified. I mean, the world in general views Him one of two ways, either a baby or dying on a cross. Where do they get that from? Well, they don't get it from this Word. They get it from pictures. And if we're not careful, we'll live in that figment in our mind. But that's it. John said we're going to see Him as He is, not as He was. As He is. How is He? Well, He's one that angels adore, and the demons fear Him. They tremble. How is He? He's exalted. He's sovereign. He's a ruler. He's King. He is. Right now, He is. Not was. That's what He was saying over when He was carrying that cross. And one little old statement there. He's carrying that cross, and all those women were weeping. And you remember what He says? He says, "Weep not for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children." Our Lord knew what His mission was, and He knew what shortly would be accomplished. And that's what He said. Don't weep for me. You better weep for you. You better worry about yourselves and for your children. You better see me as your only hope, as your King. And then this, "He that hath this hope," and this hope here is being like Him. Being like Him. "Purifies himself." There's a change. There's a change that comes. It's not a legal change. It's not a self-righteous change. The love of God brings a change. We're sons now. Sons right now. In the image of Christ. These things bring a change. I'm going to try to read something for you. Hope I can read it without getting emotional with it. "Was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it barely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin. But he held it up with a smile. 'What am I bidding, good folks, for this old violin? $1, then two, maybe $3 once, $3 twice. Can it go for $3? But no, nobody bid. Far back in the room, a gray-haired man came forward, and he picked up the bow. Then, wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loose strings, he played a melody, pure as angels sing. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said this: 'What am I bid for this old violin?' And he held it up with a bow. $1,000? Who'll make it $2? $2,000? Who'll make it $3? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice. And going and gone," said he, "the The people cheered and some of them cried. "We don't quite understand," said they. "What changed its worth?" Swift was the auctioneer's reply. "The touch of a master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune, battered, scarred with sin, is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. He's going once. He's going twice.
Yeah.
And here we are. We're going. And almost gone. But the master comes. And the foolish crowd can't quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought with the touch of a master's hand. That's it.